Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You'll find that statement recorded in Hebrews 11 and verse 5. Many people take that to mean that Enoch never died and was just taken straight to heaven at some point during his life. This passage has confused many people. What is, in fact, this talking about? What happened to this man named Enoch? Who was Enoch anyway? And what happened to him? Did he die? Did he never die? Did he die and go straight to heaven? Well, those are questions that need to be answered, and those are questions that many people have. Now, to begin answering those, first of all, you have to understand the bigger picture and other verses in the Bible and what they say. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, one of those foundational verses that will help answer these questions, it says there in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that it is appointed unto all men once to die. So Enoch would have to be included in that grouping of all men. Also in John 3 and verse 13, a verse that we've quoted several times here in the last few weeks on this program, Jesus Christ himself speaking, and he said, "No man has ascended up to heaven." No man, Christ said, has ascended up to heaven. Now you combine that with what Christ said also in John 10:35, where he said that the scripture cannot be broken. And we've got to look at this and say, well, what is the answer to Hebrews 11 and verse 5? Now look, if we're to believe Hebrews 9 and verse 27, then we have to believe that Enoch, in fact, did die. If we are to believe Christ when he said that no man has ascended up to heaven, then we have to believe that Enoch did not ascend up to heaven. And if you believe Christ when he said that the scripture cannot be broken, well, then you have to believe that there is a logical answer, a logical, clear explanation for each one of these questions. Now, let's get into the subject of Enoch. Who was Enoch and what, in fact, happened to him? The account of Enoch is over in Genesis chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there and you can follow along. In Genesis 5, we see a record of the genealogy from Adam to Noah. And actually, Noah's three sons as well are included, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And that covers about the first 1,500, 1,600, 1,700 years or so of human history. Now, picking up the account here in verse 18, we see that there is a man named Jared, and this is about five generations down the line from Adam. And here in verse 18, it says, Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. So this is Enoch. Jared begot a son named Enoch, and this is the individual that is written about over in Hebrews 11. And if you read on through the rest of the chapter, you'll see that Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. Now, most people, even if they've never heard of Enoch, they've heard of Noah. And so that gives you a little bit of context as to what we're reading about here in Genesis chapter 5. Going on here, verse 19, and Jared lived, after he begot Enoch, 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. So at the age of 65, Enoch himself had a son, and he named his son Methuselah. And it says here that Enoch walked with God after he had begotten Methuselah for 300 years. Verse 23 now going on, and all the days of Enoch were 360 in 5 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So that's what Genesis has to say about Enoch. And that gives you a little bit of context as to what Genesis 5 is all about as well. So hold your place there in Genesis 5. We will come back and look at this a little more closely. But first, let's go quickly and look at Hebrews 11 again. And we'll pick it up here in verse 4 this time. Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter. It lists a definition of faith at the beginning and then gives some great, wonderful examples of individuals full of faith and the great exploits that they did for God. And frankly, great blessings God gave to them and great promises God gave to them and wonderful promises of the future for any of us who walk by faith as well. Now, Hebrews 11 and verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks." And then verse 5, so Abel is listed as one of these great examples of faith. And then the next one mentioned, the second one mentioned in this faith chapter is Enoch. So you can see that it was very rare that anyone actually walked with God and walked by faith before the flood. And it's been very rare that anyone has done that since the flood, for that matter. But verse 5 then says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." So we're going to answer the question here about what this is talking about Enoch being translated. But first of all, let's just focus in here on what kind of man Enoch was. I mean, he really pleased God. Verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, we all can ask some questions of ourselves. What kind of people of faith are we? Do we please God? Do we really have faith? And do we go to God on our knees, knowing that he's there and knowing that he is a rewarder of individuals that diligently seek him? And then we can ask, well, do we diligently seek God the way that we should? Maybe we don't diligently seek God as much as we should or as much as we think that we do. But Enoch certainly did, according to this account, and he was a man that pleased God. He was a man of faith, and as we just read over in Genesis 5, he was a man that walked with God. Now, Amos 3 and verse 3, we won't turn there and look at this, but you can jot it down in your notes if you want. But it asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, God tells us clearly that two cannot walk together except they be agreed. You know you cannot walk with God unless you agree with God. Think about that. God's very practical. It's very logical. It's very practical. You can't walk with God unless you agree with God. And that is a rare thing in today's society, that people actually walk with God, because it's a rare thing that people actually agree with God. And you know what? It was a rare thing in the days of Enoch as well. It was a rare thing in the days of Enoch and in the days of his great-grandson Noah, so much so that there was only one man on earth that actually agreed with God and was walking with God. Now, just look around and think, how many people really walk with God today? How many people really agree with God today and agree with every word of God and strive to more perfectly live by every word of God? That's a good question to think on. Anyway, now here talking about Enoch, he was walking with God for 300 years. Genesis 5 says so. And that's a long time to be on this earth and to walk with God. And in his generation, Enoch was actually the only recorded person who obeyed God and followed after the ways of God. There's no record in the Bible of anyone else during Enoch's generation that walked with God or agreed with God or obeyed God. And even with him, it appears that it took him 65 years to learn to walk with God. It doesn't say that he walked with God prior to the age of 65. Now, he may have, but it's certainly not stated for sure that he did. But it does state that for 300 years, he did walk with God. And he followed God's ways. He was a great man of faith, at least for those 300 years, and that's why he's listed in what we call the faith chapter here in Hebrews 11. And all of these individuals were full of faith, and by faith they accomplished great things for God. Faith really is about believing that God will perform what he has promised that he will perform. Did God say it? Do you believe it? Do you then base your decisions and your actions accordingly? You see, you can rely on the living God of your Bible. You can. And we need to think about God's word this way and study it this way. It's very practical. God is very practical, and he's made promises to you and promises to me, and we can rely on those promises. Now, there are conditions, of course. All of God's promises are conditional. And we have our part in that, and the conditions are faith and obedience. That's where we have to do our part. Now, Enoch's great-grandson is mentioned next in verse 7. Verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear." He moved with godly fear. You see, godly fear really has everything to do with faith. And it's not talking about a wrong kind of fear, but it is talking about deep respect and reverence for God. And Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now look what Noah accomplished for God. And look at how he and his family were blessed by God. And it's all by faith. All of this is by faith. By faith, Abel did what he did. By faith, Enoch did what he did. By faith, Noah did. By faith, Abraham did. And on, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the rest, Moses, all of the others listed in this chapter. And so Enoch had faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He did please God. He walked with God. And Enoch is given as one of the great examples of faith in this chapter. And so is his great-grandson Noah, given as a great example of faith. Noah had also walked with God, and Enoch and Noah did not follow the ways of this world. Instead, they followed the ways of God, and how rare indeed that is. And that's what each one of us needs to do as well. It's not easy today, and it wasn't easy in Enoch's day, and it wasn't easy in Noah's day. You can look back and look at Genesis 6 and verse 12, where it says that all flesh had corrupted God's ways upon the earth. All flesh had corrupted God's ways, and we see that all around us today as well. So you can see human nature is the same today as it was back then, before the time of the flood. And those men, Enoch being one of the very few, proved their belief in God by walking in the ways of God, by doing the things that please God. They didn't have a dead faith. They had a living faith. It was alive, and they walked in it, and they produced fruit and action and works that proved their faith. And remember, no man can walk with God except he is in agreement with God, and in agreement with the will of God, and in agreement with the words of God. So that's what we want to be, is in agreement with God's word.
You're listening to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3. KPCG and online, our live stream, we're at kpcg.fm. Second half of the program will be coming up in just a minute. I want to take a moment to mention kpcg.fm. where many of you are listening to the live stream. Thanks for joining us there. In addition to the live stream, we also have the archives. All of the programming here on KPCG and Live by Every Word as well. It has its own page there and archive section. Take advantage of that. It's for you to use, and it's for free. It's at kpcg.fm.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's go back to Genesis 5, and we'll answer the questions that have puzzled so many about this great man of faith, Enoch. First of all, many believe that Enoch never died, or at least they have questions about that. In Genesis 5 and verse 23, going back there to the account about Enoch, verse 23 says, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." Now, this is a very clear statement. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. If Enoch did not die, if he would have been changed somehow to immortality, he would have continued to walk with God up in heaven somewhere, and then his days would have been a lot more than 365 years. They would have been all the way up to the time that Moses would have written this, and that's about 1,000 years or so after the flood. And Enoch lived a good while before the flood even. But the Bible plainly says that all of his days were just that. They were exactly 365 years. Now remember, Moses is the one who wrote the book of Genesis, and Moses does not say that Enoch did not die. He doesn't say anywhere that he never died. What he actually says is that Enoch walked with God, and that he was not, for God took him. In verse 24, it says, "He was not, for God took him." Now, what does that mean? Paul records this same event by saying in Hebrews 11 and verse 5 that he was not found. Now, let's turn back there, actually, and read that again in Hebrews 11 and verse 5. It says, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found." Now, that's what it says here. He was not found. Now, that says they couldn't find him. They didn't know where he was. He was not found. It doesn't say that he never died, and it doesn't say that he went to heaven. It says he wasn't found. Now, it does say that he should not see death, but I'll talk about that here again in a moment. But it says here that he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, let me say right here that this is actually talking about two different translations. I'll explain that further in a moment as we go along. But again, let's just stay focused on one thing. Does any of this say that he did not die? What is recorded here is that Enoch was not found. It does not say that Enoch went to heaven, and it also doesn't say that he did not die. It says he was not found. Now, certainly Enoch was translated. It does say that, but what does translated mean? The truth is that nowhere in all the Bible does the word translate or translated mean anything about being immortal. It doesn't mean that any place in the Bible. The original word that was written by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11, it was in the Greek language, and the Greek word for translate here is metatitemi. And that's the word that is translated into English. Interestingly enough, I just used the word translate here myself. Now, in using that word, did I indicate that anything was made immortal? I said that that word from the Greek language was translated into the English. Did anything become immortal? Did anything get changed into immortality? No, I was only talking about changing something into a different language. And that's what the word means. The Greek word means to transfer, transport, exchange, or to change, to change sides. That same Greek word is translated as carried over. That's the English translation, carried over, in Acts 7 and verse 16. And there you can read that after Jacob died, his body was carried over or transported, translated to Shechem, where he was buried. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what your Bible says, that Jacob was translated over to Shechem, where he was buried. Now, that doesn't mean that he was made immortal or taken to heaven or that he's still living. He was just transported to a place of burial. And that's why Moses said that God took Enoch. God removed or translated him so that he was not found. The same thing happened when Moses died, actually. And you can see that in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 6, where God took Moses from the people. And then after that, he died and he was buried. But it says then, after that, that no man and knew where his sepulcher was unto this day. That's recorded in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 6. So God removed Moses. He was not found. And that's exactly what happened with Enoch. Enoch was removed, translated, so that he was not found had not been found. And that was years and years before what happened with Moses. So Enoch was not made immortal after all. He was taken away and he was not found. And all of his days, just like it says there in Genesis 5, were 365 years. It says that in verse 23 of Genesis 5. That's as long as Enoch lived. That's what your Bible says. Now let's go back to Hebrews 11 and look further into this and see absolute proof that Enoch did die. Now, the Apostle Paul starts this chapter out giving a clear definition of what is faith, and then he starts giving examples of great men of faith, and even Sarah, a great woman of faith, and he talks about Abel, then he comes to Enoch next, and then he comes to Enoch's great-grandson Noah, then he comes to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and as I mentioned there, even Sarah. And he says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So there you have a plain and clear statement that Enoch did die. A very clear, very plain statement from the Apostle Paul that Enoch did in fact die. He's one of those included in that statement. These all died, not having received the promises. Now then, if you skip down to verse 39, he goes on in the rest of this chapter and he talks about Moses and he talks about Joshua and Rahab and the prophets and Barak and Jephthah and David and Samuel and many others. And then in verse 39 it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, Enoch is included in this group. Paul here in verse 39 is talking about all of those mentioned in this chapter, and Enoch is the second one mentioned in the chapter. And he received a good report through faith, but like all the rest, he obtained this good report, but yet he has not received the promise. So Enoch is one of all of these who has not yet received or obtain the promise of eternal life. Now, since Enoch has not yet received the promise of eternal life, he has to be dead. This is exactly what Paul wrote there in this chapter in verse 13 and verse 39. So Paul clearly says that Enoch died. We can put that to rest. Any questions about that? He did die. Paul makes that very clear in two verses here. But what about the statement that Enoch was translated and it says that he should not see death? As I mentioned before, there are two translations being talked about here and neither one is talking about being changed or translated from mortal to immortal. There are two translations. This is a different translation that's being talked about. If he was translated, if he was converted or changed, what was he converted or changed from and to what? Well, we can find the answer in Colossians 1 and verse 13. It states that the Father, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, it's a figurative translation, a figurative removal or transference from the spiritual darkness of this world to the light of the family or the kingdom of God. And in verse 10, Paul shows that if we are to be in that kingdom, we must walk worthy. Notice it says walk. That's Colossians 1 and verse 10. It says we must walk worthy of the eternal or the Lord unto all pleasing. Isn't that exactly what Genesis 5 says that Enoch did? He walked with God and he pleased God. And that's exactly what Hebrews 11 and verse 5 says about Enoch as well. So Enoch was not translated from mortal to immortal. He was actually translated from the darkness of this world to the light of God's truth and the light of the gospel. Now, remember, there is more than one death mentioned in the Bible. There's a first death and there is a second death. And the first death is appointed unto all men. It's inevitable. You cannot, as a human being, avoid it. Humanly, you cannot avoid it. That's in Hebrews 9 and verse 27. But Paul said that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. A couple of things here. Number one, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, there is the first death that human beings cannot avoid. But also it says, the word is used there, should. It says that he was translated that he should not see death. The phrase should not see is in the future. It's conditional. It's the conditional tense of the verb and making reference to a future event. It's not the past tense. It does not say he did not see death, but instead it says that he should not in the future see death. It's referring actually to the second death. Now, did Jesus Christ talk about a death that you can escape? He certainly did. In John 8 and verse 51, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, if any man keep my saying, he shall never see death." That's the same death that is being referred to there in Hebrews 11 and verse 5 about Enoch. You see, those men in Hebrews 11 and the women as well, they all died. They all went through that first death, like Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says about every man. But after that, there is a judgment. There will be a resurrection. There will be a judgment. And it's that second death that we can escape. And Paul in Hebrews 11 and verse 5 is not talking about the first death. He's talking about not seeing the second death. In John 11 and verse 26, Jesus Christ also said, "Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." That's the death that Paul was talking about that Enoch would not see. Every true saint, Enoch included, is awaiting the hope of the resurrection and the return of Christ. And you see, it's the second death that can be escaped. Now, let me just read Hebrews 11 and verse 5 again. Because there are two translations. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was translated, in this case, from the darkness of this world to the glorious light of the gospel. Therefore, he would not see the second death. But also, he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, that's talking about that God did remove him. Remember, it was a very vicious and wicked and evil world, so much so that in the time of Enoch's great-grandson, God wiped out every human being from off the face of the earth. And they hated Enoch. They wanted to do terrible things to him, and God removed him so that they could not find him and find his body. It's two translations, two removals. One is a removal from this world, a figurative translation from the ways of this world to the ways of God. And then there was also a translation so that they could not find him. You see, it's the second death that can be escaped. That is the second death that Enoch escaped. And if we keep the sayings of Jesus and believe in him and the sayings of God and the truth of God, then like Enoch, we will never see the second death. But we have to walk in the ways of God. We have to please God, just like Enoch did. And two cannot walk together except they be agreed. We must agree with God. And you have that opportunity as well. If you are called by God and if you respond to that calling, and if you walk with God in agreement and with faith, just as Enoch did. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.